Welcome to today's deep dive. Our mission today is to decode this highly theoretical, I mean, completely novel framework from our sources called the decompression interference theory of gravity.
Right, or as they refine it later on in the research, the HUP loss quantum gravity model.
Yeah, that one. And our goal here is to really decipher this incredibly dense, math-heavy proposal. It essentially attempts to unify quantum mechanics and general relativity, which is a massive task.
Huge.
But it does it through a totally unexpected lens. It uses information theory and, well, signal processing.
Which is a massive departure from the norm. I mean, to appreciate just how radical this source material is, we really have to look at the stories we've been telling ourselves about physics for the last 100 years.
Right, because for the last century, whenever we've tried to picture gravity, we've been handed the exact same mental image. You know, you've probably seen it in a textbook or like a late night science documentary.
Oh, the trampoline.
Exactly, the classic bowling ball sitting in the middle of a trampoline. The heavy ball curves the fabric, and smaller objects like marbles or whatever, they just naturally roll down that curve toward the center.
Right, it's very visual.
It's elegant, it's smooth, and it is the absolute foundation of Einstein's general relativity.
And that trampoline metaphor, it provides a very comforting mechanical view of the universe.
No.
Mass curves space-time, and that curvature tells matter how to move. It feels incredibly intuitive to our everyday experience. But the thing is, when physicists look at the other the microscopic quantum realm, that smooth trampoline completely falls apart. Over there, scientists have spent decades hunting for this theoretical particle called the graviton.
Right, the invisible
Yeah,
particle.
the idea is that gravity might actually be a force communicated by particles, almost like two people on ice skates tossing a heavy medicine ball back and forth to push each other apart.
So we have two completely different pictures, a curved trampoline on one side and like invisible flying medicine balls on the other. But what if both of those pictures are fundamentally missing the point? What if gravity isn't a geometric fabric and it isn't a particle exchange?
This is where it gets wild.
What if instead gravity is essentially an astrophotographer stacking thousands of blurry, noisy photos on top of each other just to get one crystal clear image of a galaxy?
That astrophotography concept is, without a doubt, the beating heart of the model we're exploring today. We're looking at a universe that doesn't operate like a physical machine with gears or pulleys or even stretching fabrics.
Right.
Instead, this theory treats the cosmos like a giant self-correcting noise-canceling algorithm.
Okay, let's unpack this because reading through these notes, the shift in perspective is just staggering. To understand how a cosmic noise-canceling algorithm governs the motion of entire planets, the text says we actually have to zoom all the way in.
Way, way in.
We have to shrink down to the scale of a single isolated atom and watch how it, well, for lack of a better word, how it leaks information.
Yeah, the author insists that to understand the macro scale of galaxies, you have to first master the micro scale of a single particle.
Okay.
The foundation of this framework starts with a mathematically grounded premise, which is that every atom in the universe is constantly trying to project or decompress its inner core energy outward.
Decompress.
Right. But crucially, the universe doesn't allow it to do this perfectly. It happens in a lossy way.
Lossy. I know that term from computing, like with files. But applied to an atom, does that mean the atom is just losing energy? Because if energy can't be created or destroyed, where does it go?
Well, the energy doesn't vanish into nothingness, which, as you said, would certainly violate the laws of physics. Rather, the information about that energy spreads out and becomes blurred.
Oh, okay.
The text is very specific about the mechanism driving this information loss. It all comes down to one of the most famous unavoidable rules in quantum
The
mechanics.
Heisenberg Uncertainty Principle, the HUP.
Exactly.
That's the idea that you can't know everything about a particle all at once, right? Like you can't know both exactly where a particle is and exactly how fast it's moving at the same time. The more you pin down its location, the less you know about its speed.
Right. And the math behind that trade-off is rigorous. The constraint dictates that the uncertainty in a particle's position, multiplied by the uncertainty in its momentum, must always be greater than or equal to a tiny but non-zero number.
Planck's constant divided by two, I think.
Spot on. Now, apply that strict rule to our decompressing atom. When an atom's core energy tries to project outward and localize into a physical field, it is forced to take on a highly specific, tight position.
Oh, I see. And because its position is getting squeezed so tightly, the Heisenberg uncertainty principle demands a price.
Exactly.
The momentum has to become incredibly uncertain, starts violently shaking around.
Yes, That inherent shaking is the blur. The energy doesn't disappear, but because of that violent quantum uncertainty, the resulting field is generated with a completely random phase.
So it's vibrating, essentially, but it is completely out of sync with anything else around it.
Right. The text refers to this process as the creation of quantum information entropy. The pristine energy of the core has been translated into a noisy, vibrating field.
So it's like saving a JPEG image over and over again. Every time you extract or, you know, decompress that file to look at it, the compression algorithm loses a little bit of the original crispness.
That's a perfect analogy.
You start getting those weird blocky artifacts. It gets a bit noisy. The data is technically still there. The file still exists, but the image is permanently blurred and degraded.
Taking that JPEG analogy further, the atom's core contains a massive amount of perfectly compressed information. But the act of the universe interacting with it, forcing it to decompress into a measurable field, triggers that Heisenberg loss. So a fraction of that energy forms a coherent field, but the lost information becomes pure random phase noise.
So what does this all mean? I mean, I'm looking at my hands, I'm looking at the desk. If every single atom in my body, every atom in the earth, and every atom in the sun is constantly radiating this blurry, noisy, lossy energy with completely random phases,
yeah,
shouldn't the universe just be a chaotic mess of static? How on earth do we get a stable, predictable force that holds my feet to the ground out of a trillion, trillion random noisy signals?
At this point, you might be thinking exactly that. If everything is just quantum static, why don't we all just float away in a glitchy haze?
Right.
And if you only had a handful of atoms, the resulting gravitational field would be pure static. But this is where the sheer unimaginable scale of the universe steps in, armed with the mathematical magic of constructive interference.
Ah, the image stacking. This is where that astrophotographer comes back in.
That stacking concept is the core of the source material's argument for how gravity emerges. Imagine you're that astrophotographer trying to capture a distant nebula. Your camera sensor is getting bombarded by thermal noise, stray light, atmospheric distortion, just pure static. If you look at a single image, it's almost useless. It's just a screen full of grain.
Yeah, I've seen raw astrophotography. It looks terrible.
Exactly. But you don't take one picture. You take 10,000 pictures.
And when you layer them on top of each other in Photoshop, the magic happens. The nebula suddenly pops out crystal clear.
What's fascinating here is the specific way the signal processing math works out when you sum all those tiny quantum fields together. When you combine the decompressed fields of countless atoms, the incoherent noise, those random phases generated by the Heisenberg blur, it doesn't grow as fast as the coherent part of the signal.
Wait, really? Why not?
Statistically, random noise will often cancel itself out. A positive noise spike hits a negative noise spike and they just vanish.
Oh, sure.
Because of this cancellation, the total noise only grows as the square root of the number of atoms. Let's call the number of atoms n.
Okay, so the noise grows as the square root of n. But the signal, the tiny fraction of the field that does happen to align.
The coherent signal grows linearly with n. It simply adds up directly. 1 plus 1 plus 1.
Yeah.
So as n gets larger and larger, like as you scale up from a single atom to the macroscopic scale of an apple or a planet or a star, the signal-to-noise ratio absolutely skyrockets.
Because the signal is outrunning the noise.
Exactly. The random quantum noise, that persistent Heisenberg blur, statistically averages out to practically nothing.
Yeah.
What emerges from the static is a pristine, incredibly coherent field.
Here's where it gets really interesting, at least for me looking through the notes. I followed the JPEG analogy, but looking at the source material here, the author suddenly dives into this massive block of equations involving something called a central limit theorem for quantum phases.
Yes, the heavy math.
Yeah, and I'm losing the thread a bit. How does stacking blurry quantum noise actually result in the exact inverse square law of gravity that Isaac Newton gave us? Because they claim to derive G equals M over R squared purely from this noise cancellation.
It is the ultimate litmus test. Honestly, if a new theory can't derive the inverse square law from first principles, it is completely dead on arrival.
Right.
The author gets there by modeling how these tiny, low-energy waves ripple outward through space. Think of dropping a single pebble into a completely still pond. You could mathematically track exactly how the energy of that ripple spreads out and dilutes as the circle gets wider.
Yeah, because the energy has to stretch over a larger and larger circumference, so the wave gets weaker the further it travels.
Exactly the same principle applies here, but in three dimensions. The text maps out how millions of these coherent, stacked atomic ripples propagate outward and overlap.
Okay.
When you calculate the intensity of that combined macroscopic field, it mathematically drops off perfectly with the square of the distance.
That is wild.
But the most profound paradigm shift in these equations is how the theory redefines the concept of mass itself.
Oh, yeah. Because in standard physics, mass is just an intrinsic property. A proton has mass because, well, because it just does. It's heavy.
The text calls this new definition interference efficiency.
Interference efficiency.
Yeah. In simple terms, it means that mass isn't about how heavy something inherently is. Mass is effectively an accumulator of coherence.
Meaning what exactly?
It's a measure of how successfully an object can take all those individual, noisy, lossy quantum events and stack them into a loud, clear signal. The more nucleons you have, the higher your N, the better you are at filtering out your own quantum static.
So the Earth has a strong gravitational pull, not because it's heavy in the traditional sense, but because it is composed of, what, 10 to the 50th power atoms, all leaking tiny bits of energy?
Right.
And because there are so many of them packed together, they're incredibly efficient at running that noise-canceling algorithm. Gravity is just the ultimate crowdsourced signal.
That framing captures the mechanics perfectly. The universe is constantly taking a statistical average of reality.
Yeah.
The underlying quantum reality is a blurry, uncertain mess. But when you average it out over a massive macroscopic object, you get the illusion of a smooth, fundamental, classical force.
It also perfectly explains why gravity is so incredibly weak compared to something like electromagnetism, right?
It does. It suggests gravity is weak because it isn't a primary force at all. It's merely a residual effect. Gravity is just the tiny, leftover, coherent fraction of energy that managed to survive after the Heisenberg uncertainty principle scrambled the vast majority of the information into noise.
Okay, I love the elegance of that math, and the logic of the image stacking is incredibly tight. But I have to admit, I'm a little stuck on the implications for the rest of the universe.
Where are you stuck?
Well, we've established that gravity relies on millions or billions of atoms stacking together to cancel out the noise. That works great here on Earth. But if gravity requires a massive crowd of atoms to function, what happens in the middle of nowhere? Like, if I go out into the deepest, emptiest void in intergalactic space, shouldn't there be places where there literally aren't enough atoms around to get a clear signal? Does gravity just stop working smoothly?
The math actually supports your hesitation entirely. This is where the theory moves from being a neat mathematical trick to a framework that could fundamentally rewrite cosmology.
Wow, really?
Yeah. If we connect this to the bigger picture, the text makes some truly stunning, testable predictions about those exact empty spaces. It predicts what you might call a stacking threshold.
A threshold where the algorithm fails.
According to the equations, if you have a system with fewer than about 10 billion atoms, 10 to the 10th power, the signal-to-noise ratio is simply too low.
Okay.
The coherent gravity signal cannot overpower the random phase noise. At that scale, gravity becomes entirely unreliable. It effectively dissolves back into quantum static.
Which perfectly explains something that has been driving physicists crazy for decades. We have never been able to measure quantum gravity in a lab. Every time scientists try to test the gravitational pull of a single atom or like a tiny cluster of atoms, the results are just a chaotic mess. We've always just assumed our instruments weren't sensitive enough, or there was background interference from a passing truck outside the lab vibrating the table or something.
This theory suggests the noise isn't in the instrument at all. The noise is the gravity itself.
Mind-blowing.
It is fundamentally impossible to measure smooth gravity at the atomic scale because smooth gravity doesn't exist yet at that scale. The images simply haven't been stacked.
Wow. Okay, so that handles the microscale beautifully. But what about the macro scale? How does this alter our view of the universe at large? Because if gravity is glitchy in empty space, doesn't that break Einstein's models of the universe? How does his math hold up if gravity just stops working smoothly in the voids?
The author doesn't just throw out general relativity. They recognize its predictive power. Instead, they mathematically modify Einstein's field equations to account for this new reality.
Okay.
They introduce two new concepts, a loss tensor and a stacking tensor.
Tensors.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the layperson, you can just think of the loss tensor as the math that accounts for those tiny AGP blur corrections at the microscopic scale. And the stacking tensor acts very much like a background energy field across the universe.
Got it.
But the most mind-bending application of these new equations is how the theory entirely redefines dark matter.
Oh, dark matter. Because right now, dark matter is basically astrophysics' biggest placeholder, isn't it?
Pretty much.
We look through telescopes at galaxies spinning way too fast, and we say, well, there isn't enough visible stuff there to generate that much gravity, so there must be some invisible, heavy stuff holding it all together.
The standard model assumes dark matter is an undiscovered, exotic particle. But the decompression interference theory suggests we've been looking at the problem completely backward.
How so?
Remember your question about deep space. Those intergalactic voids where there are very few atoms.
The glitchy zones where the signal drops below 10 billion atoms.
Right. Think of it like driving through a tunnel while listening to the radio. When you lose the clear signal of the station, the radio doesn't just go perfectly silent, it blasts static.
Oh.
In these incredibly sparse cosmic regions, you have a very low atom count. Because that N value is so low, the gravitational field is no longer dominated by a clear, coherent signal. The clear signal drops out, and the static takes over. The text calls this phase noise.
Wait, so you're saying that the extra gravity we see in the universe, the mysterious force pulling galaxies together in ways we can't explain, isn't an invisible particle at all. It's just the noise.
It is the noise from undersampled regions of space. We are observing this complex, noisy gravitational static echoing out of regions with very few atoms.
That's crazy.
And because our classical physics brains are so trained to think of gravity as a property of mass, we're misinterpreting that loud static as the gravitational pull of invisible matter. This theory brilliantly posits that dark matter isn't matter at all. It is just low signal to noise zones in the cosmic stacking algorithm. Standard astrophysics looks at that static and assumes it's a heavy, invisible particle pushing things around. This theory says no, it's just the sound of the void.
That is absolutely staggering. It takes this huge, glaring mystery of modern astrophysics and solves it not by inventing a magical new particle, but by pointing out a statistical artifact in how the universe averages itself out.
Exactly.
It's like looking at a grainy, low-light photo of the night sky and assuming the grain is a cluster of millions of tiny invisible stars, rather than just recognizing it as an artifact of the camera sensor struggling in the dark.
It's a remarkably elegant solution. And the beauty of a strong scientific theory is that it makes specific, testable predictions. It doesn't just explain the past, it tells us what to look for next.
Like what?
For instance, the math suggests that the fundamental strength of gravity might actually vary over time. If the overall density of matter in the universe shifts over cosmic epochs, or if the rate of atom formation changes, the total stacking power of the universe changes with it.
Meaning the actual strength of gravity itself would slowly drift stronger or weaker over billions of years? That would completely upend how we measure the age and the expansion rate of the universe.
It would force a recalculation of cosmological history, for sure. Furthermore, the theory predicts that we should be able to see physical evidence of this stacking process in the form of interference fringes in gravitational waves.
Like when two black holes collide and send out ripples.
Exactly. When massive objects like black holes collide, they send gravitational shock waves through space. If gravity is just curved space-time like a trampoline, those ripples should be perfectly smooth. But if gravity is the result of constructive interference, if it acts like waves of stacked quantum information, then when those massive waves overlap, they should create specific fringe patterns. Think of the complex crisscrossing patterns you see when two different sets of water ripples crash into each other in a pond.
Oh, I see it.
The author suggests we could actually hunt for these specific fringe signatures right now using the data already collected by LIGO, the Gravitational Wave Observatory.
So this isn't just dorm room philosophy. This is a robust framework with highly specific, testable predictions. You can look at the atomic scale to try and find that 10 billion atom stacking threshold. You can look at the cosmic scale to see if phase noise mathematically perfectly replaces dark matter. And you can look at black hole collisions for these interference fringes.
This raises an important question for the physics community. Are we willing to test it? It offers a complete pathway to either validate or falsify the framework. The math bridges the gap naturally. It doesn't force quantum mechanics to behave like a smooth trampoline, and it doesn't force general relativity to invent an invisible graviton particle. It lets the two biggest theories in physics meet in the middle, through the universal language of information theory.
It really is a profound way to look at reality. I mean, we started this deep dive with two very different clashing pictures, the smooth, heavy trampoline of Einstein and the chaotic, flying medicine balls of quantum mechanics.
Yeah.
And through this HUP loss quantum gravity model, we've traced a totally new path. We started at the microscopic blur of the Heisenberg uncertainty principle, where every single atom is leaking fuzzy, uncertain information, and followed that static all the way up to the macroscopic stacking process that mathematically yields the inverse square law of gravity.
It shifts our entire understanding of mass. Mass is no longer a heavy, static property. It is an active, dynamic process of achieving coherence. It implies that the solidity of our world, the very force that grounds us to the floor, is just a statistical emergent property.
It changes your relationship with reality, doesn't it? As a listener, you know, the next time you feel the weight of your own body or drop something on the floor, you realize the universe isn't a heavy, curved fabric dragging things downward.
No, it's not.
It is a brilliant, self-correcting, statistical averaging algorithm. It's taking trillions of chaotic, noisy, lossy atomic events and perfectly balancing them out to create the stable reality you experience.
It's finding perfect order hidden inside the ultimate quantum chaos.
Which leaves me with one final kind of haunting thought to mull over.
Oh, what's that?
Well, if gravity isn't a fundamental force, if it only exists because of the coherent stacking of quantum noise from matter, what happens in the very, very distant future of the universe?
Oh, when everything expands.
Exactly. Billions or trillions of years from now, scientists theorize that all the matter in the universe might decay. Or space might expand so infinitely far that every single atom is isolated, billions of light years away from its neighbor.
Right. So that n value drops to zero everywhere.
Yeah. In that scenario, that massive crowdsourced stacking algorithm becomes completely impossible. Does the signal-to-noise ratio just plummet? Does gravity itself, you know, the majestic force that shaped the galaxies and held the stars together, does it just quietly fade back into meaningless quantum static?
That is a wild thought.
It really is. Something for you to think about the next time you drop your keys. You're not witnessing an unbreakable law of physics. You're just watching the universe successfully stack a trillion blurry photos.